Bid you all good morning. We've got a good number out with us here today, and I'm glad of that. I appreciate your interest in spiritual things. It has you be out with God's people today. We have a few folks that are absent from us today, either sick or traveling. Brother Steve will give announcements at the close of our service here this morning regarding them, but we're glad that you're here. We do have visitors with us here today, and we want you to especially feel welcome here at the Clarksville Church of Christ. Hope you'll come out and be with us again and again. We've entered into the part of our worship where we're going to continue to honor God by preaching and teaching His Word. Peter one time said in 1 Peter 4, verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak the utterances of God. And he closes that verse by saying that God in all things may be glorified. So I hope you appreciate the fact that I'm going to utilize a PowerPoint here to my left, your right. And I'm going to provide you book, chapter, and verse from the Bible, the Word of God, for everything I've got to say. So you might know the things that I'm saying here are from God, and I ask you to follow along, take out a pencil, piece of paper, write some of these things down, follow along in your Bible, follow along in the bulletin where you'll find the outline of my lesson here this morning. But don't just study it here this morning, study it later to see what these things are so and make the proper application to your life. I think you'll find this morning's lesson is appropriate for all of us. Have you ever asked the question, what if? I've seen shows based on different events in history that have asked that very question. What if? What if Adolf Hitler had a deliverable nuclear bomb before we did? What if the Japanese had a deliverable atomic bomb before we did? And bombs were dropped on Los Angeles and New York. What if? What if that happened? As you think about our Civil War and our great country, where we see the Army of Northern Virginia led by Robert E. Lee all the way up into Pennsylvania, makes picket to go to surround, to take the counterflank of the Union Army. He delays for 2 hours, and now what is infamously known as Pickett's Charge across an open field, he's mowed down. Tactic that Robert E. Lee had to ensnare the Union Army that was now lost. What if that hadn't occurred? What if the South had won that battle? What type of world would we have lived in? There's all kinds of things from history you can think about. What if? What if this had occurred? And it's real good sometimes to think about that because it gives you some sort of an idea of comparing the alternatives of how things could or could not have been. Have you ever asked that about your life? What if? What if I had done this or that? Or what if I hadn't done this or that? How would your life maybe have been different? Well, in our reading a few moments ago from 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, the brother Alan read so well, he asked the question, he made the statement, examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith, prove your own selves. And really, what Paul there is saying is, listen, you need to have a little introspective about your life. Asking questions like that, what if, are not bad ways to think about it. Do a little inventory of your life, where you're at, as compared to the alternatives. And what I'd like to do here today is just simply ask this question, what if 6 or 7 different things about different topics, and I'd like for you to make a personal application in regards to this question, what if? For instance, what if God gave like you gave? If God gave like you gave, would there be passages like John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believed upon Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Would there be passages like 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16? All Scripture has been given by the inspiration of God. The Scriptures have been given by God. Now think about that. Consider that for a moment. The Scriptures have been given by God. A book we know of as the Bible, a collection, a volume, if you will, of 66 books. That was delivered to us, God-given, over 1,500 years, written by 40 different authors on 3 different continents in 3 different languages, for you and I to have even to this day. God has given us the Scripture. Also 1 John 5 and verse 11, for this is the record that God has given us eternal life, and that life is in His Son. What if God gave like you gave? You know, all of us have opportunities to give. We have opportunities to give every day of our lives. We have opportunities to give in our worship. You gave a few moments ago. The reason why we do that is because it is commanded to be in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. Now, as I give in the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered. God has commanded you to give. God has always commanded us to be like him. God gives. What if God gave like you? In 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6, so whoever, Paul there talking about the idea of giving, he said, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. Take the word sowing out and put the word give. He that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, but he that soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. So let every man give as he's purposed in his own heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. I preach a lesson sometimes entitled, The Things God Loves, and that's one of them. God loves a cheerful giver. The wise man in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9 there says, honor the Lord with thy substance and the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and your presses will burst forth with new wine. There's good reason to try to give like God gives. Because when we give like God gives, God continues to give to the giver that he might continue to give. That's an attribute, you see, of God is giving. And that's the reason why Paul would say the Lord taught in Acts 20:35, it's more blessed to give than to receive. What if the rest of the members here gave like you gave? Would we be able to open the doors? What if God forgave like you forgave? Many folks hold all kinds of old grudges. One of the things I learned as I did my gospel mini work over the past 20 years are the grudges that brethren harbor for one another. Jesus in Matthew 6 and verse 14 taught, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your Father in heaven will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. I want you to understand that God seeks to forgive the sinner. In Romans 2 and verse 4, do you despise the riches of his goodness and his long suffering, not knowing that his goodness of God leads to repentance? Does our goodness cause others, ladies and gentlemen, to wish to harbor old grudges? Paul said, listen, I want you to understand the goodness of God causes us to repent because God is looking to forgive the sinner. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44, Jesus said, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Why? That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends the rain on the just and on the unjust. Well, that's all good, Brian. You tell me all those things, but I'm not God. I'm not expected to forgive like God. I beg to differ. Paul said in Ephesians 4 and verse 32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God. Even as who? Even as God has forgiven you for Christ's sake. How am I to forgive? Even as God has forgiven, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against another, even as God has forgiven you, even so do ye. That's Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13. What if God forgave like you forgave? Would any of us have a chance to escape the fires of hell? What if? What if God loved like you love? Would that passage be there? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. In Romans 5 and verse 8, God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, I read there that he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. What if God loved me like I love him? What if I, or God loved me like I love my fellow man? In Hebrews 13 and verse 1, I read, let brotherly love continue. I want you to appreciate that once again, I'm using God as a standard. And someone said, wow, that's kind of a high standard. But I want you to appreciate that's the standard that God gives. God gave that standard when it comes to forgiving. He's given us that standard when it comes to loving. Remember what Jesus said in John 13:34? A new commandment I give it to you, that you love one another. You ready for the rest of that? Even as I have loved you, even so ye love one another. And by this the world will know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. Jesus said, just as I have loved you, I want you to love in that same manner, in that same way. We understand that love, ladies and gentlemen, in the Bible is not an emotional term. It is an action word. It is the act of goodwill for others. The definition is seen in 1 John 3 and verse 18 when Paul there, or John there said, neither let us love anymore in word or tongue. In other words, quit saying, I love you. Oh yeah, I love them. He says, neither love in word or tongue, but in deed and truth. I show my love by what I do. God showed his love that he sent his son Jesus to die. And I asked the question of you here this morning. Spiritual bodybuilding, that's our theme. I want you to appreciate that every church is only as strong and is only getting stronger as each individual member is getting stronger. And I just ask you here to do a personal inventory of that idea. What if God loved like you loved? What if, ladies and gentlemen, all studied like you study. In the book of Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, my people, there Hosea said, is destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, even so I will reject you. God over and over from one passage of the scripture to another has taught his people to study his words. In Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 1, Moses there said, hear, O Israel, these words that I give unto you this day, that you might learn them, that you might keep them and do them. But I want you to learn these things. You got to read the Word of God. You got to study the Word of God. We studied beginning of the book of Romans. And one of the comments that was made is that Romans is hard. And it is. Somebody got some difficult passage at first blush to understand. That's the reason why you've got to study. You got to spend some time in Bible study. In Matthew 11 verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon me. Now listen. And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Learn, feed upon the Word of God. Jesus said in Matthew 9 and verse 13, go, learn what this means. And then he quoted this Old Testament scripture there. Go and study that. Make application to you in your life. Until I come, give attendance to reading 1 Timothy 4 and verse 13. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, study to show yourself approved unto God. In Revelation 1 and verse 3, blessed is he that reads the book of this prophecy. What if at this year, and again, we had a wonderful theme of bodybuilding, and we've talked about the need for Bible reading. We had an excellent lesson on Wednesday night that Brother Mark Roberts taught us. What if all of us was doing our Bible reading like you are doing your Bible reading? What if all of us studied the Word of God like you did? Where would we be as a New Testament church? What if, ladies and gentlemen, we all murmured and complained like you do? You know, just about in every congregation I've been a part of, there's been those who will murmur and complain. Now, not so much in this congregation, but maybe there is. You know, one of the lessons that I preach many times at the beginning of my work of any congregation is a lesson that I've entitled, Who Are You? Out of Acts chapter 17. Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? You may recall the demon asked those seven sons of Sceva as they tried to exorcise them. And I made the application, who are you? Every one of us have a reputation in a local work. Even a child's known by his doings, whether they be good or right. Proverbs chapter 20 verse 11. Who are you? Are you the murmurer and complainer? I hope not, because I read in 1 Corinthians 10, in verse 10, neither murmur ye as some of them murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer. In Philippians 2, in verse 14, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory or murmuring or complaining. And I want you to understand here, ladies and gentlemen, or ask the question, if everyone murmured and complained like you, would we be able to have services for the racket going on? Someone gets you a cold drink of water on a hot summer day. Took you long enough. Yeah, that was a great meal. Ham was a little salty. Always intermix some complaint, something that's not just quite right. What if? What if, ladies and gentlemen, everyone murmured and complained like you murmur and complain? What if everybody prayed like you prayed? Many use prayer kind of like a fire escape, you know, only in emergencies. But I want you to appreciate that prayer is an integral part of the child of God. In Psalms 55 and verse 17, David said, in the morning and at the evening and at noontime, I lift up my prayer to God. David carved out three times a day, amongst other times, to literally spend time in quiet, calm, deliberate prayer to God. We see Daniel doing this in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. He went into his room and three times a day, as he always did, prayed to his God. Paul said they're praying without ceasing. Jesus taught a parable one time, Luke said in Luke 18 and verse 1, how men ought always to pray and faint not. In Philippians 4 and verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. When was the last time you prayed? And I don't mean just for your food or right before you went to sleep. Ever prayed, fall asleep in the middle of your prayer? When was the last time you spent quiet, calm, deliberate time speaking to God? Telling God. Not just your concerns and your anxieties, but the things you're grateful for. Spending time with God and just saying, God, I just want to thank you for who you are. I want to thank you that you love me like you do, that you forgive me like you do, that you've given me the things that you give. What if everyone prayed like you prayed? Would we be able to move the hand of God? What if, ladies and gentlemen, we all worshiped like you worship? Worship means to adore, to praise, to show forth obeisance, which literally means the idea of bowing the knee before. We come here this morning to worship God. Jesus said in John 4, verse 23, the hour is coming now is when the true worshipers of God shall worship Him in spirit and truth, for such seeketh the Father to worship Him. For God is a spirit, and those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Truth being the words of God, John 17, 17. Spirit being the inward man, the energy, the emotion that's necessary to show our love and our praise and our obedience to God. God deserves such worship. We are called to worship Him in this manner today. Paul said, I will sing with the Spirit. I'll sing with the understanding also. I will pray with the Spirit. And I will pray with the understanding also. If all of us worship like you worshiped, would the singing be better? Would it be more enthusiastic? What if we all prayed like you prayed? Would the amen be louder? Would God be more honored? Would more respect be shown for the Word of God? Or would you fall asleep during the preaching of the Word of God? A lot of things said in my many years of preaching to me about lessons and things of this nature. Some of them are funny. Some of them are very complimentary. And I've had folks come up and say, well, I don't know how anybody can fall asleep through one of your sermons. And I know what they mean. I'm loud. You're kind of fast. But I'm not that long either. It takes me about 15 minutes to fall asleep at least at night. And I got brethren that can fall asleep in 2 minutes in one of my sermons. What if everyone worshiped like you worshiped. And finally, let me ask you this. What if everybody obeyed like you obeyed? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Think about that for just a moment. Your whole duty is to be obedient unto God. How seriously are you taking that? Here is your call. For such you were born, for such you were called to God, to be obedient to His word. Blessed are they which do His commandments, for they shall have right to the tree of life and will enter into the gates of that city. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 14. James gave us this warning in James 1:22, and we'll bring this lesson to a close. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if anyone be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself, and then he goes on his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man that he was. But whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Who is blessed before God? The man that does. Here's the words of God. Does not leave this building and forget what was said, but makes application to his life. And so I ask you the question, what if? What if God gave like you gave? What if God forgave like you forgive? What if God loved like you? What if I studied like you studied? What if we all murmured and complained like you? What if we prayed like you, worshiped like you, and obeyed like you? Would we be blessed in his deeds? What I want you to understand is that you impact the congregation because we're trying to grow spiritually, a spiritual body. But the body is only as strong as its individual members. What if? That's a good question here this morning. And I appreciate your consideration. We're about to stand to sing a song of invitation to encourage you today. Maybe there's one in our audience who not been obedient to the words of Jesus. Go into the world, preach this good news. He that believes it and is baptized shall be saved. This is your opportunity to do that. I'll take your confession. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we'll baptize you for the remission of the sins. We extend that invitation to you. We sing this song to encourage you. So if you're subject to me in any way, come forward now as we stand and we sing.
My soul is in the exile.